going? Mike Howell. What's up, man?
Just living the dream, you know, prepping for winter. We're supposed to get snow on Sunday, so that's a little interesting.
Nice, nice, nice. Are you the kind of person that when you wake up, there's that always that, you know, when you live in the north, there's always that first, you know, morning where you wake up and you look outside and it's white. What is your reaction when that happens?
So my reaction, I mean, it's kind of a wonderful sight whenever it does happen, right? So you get a little excited for like maybe a minute and a half, and then you realize that everybody's going to be driving around in it and it's going to be gray by tomorrow and just disgusting looking. And then you realize like eternal dread sets in. You're like, oh, I have to deal with this for the next at least 3 to 4 months. So
I have the same reaction every single year when it happens. I look out my window and I go, fuck, every single time. I am past any prettiness or, oh, it's Christmas is coming or like any sort of nice thing about it. I instantly just think of, you know, shoveling the driveway.
Oh, yeah, shoveling is the worst.
And driving in it. And of course, the fact that everyone forgot how to drive in the last, you know, 6 months since there was snow on the ground. So, yeah, it's always, you know, some kind of shit, man. And it's, not my favorite at all.
I think it also depends on, like, how the first snow is, too, right? Because if it's like a little like half measly inch or something like that, you're just kind of like, oh, so it begins. But if you get like 8 inches and it's enough of like, oh, I'm not going into work today for sure, then it's definitely a little bit of a different reaction too.
100%, man. Well, dude, it's good to see you. I'm glad we're back here again on Thursday with This Is the New Shit, you know, and we're, you know, typically, classically, for people tuning in, you know, whether you're on Twitch now or you listen to this on the podcast, you know, we were typically doing Wednesday, sometimes, you know, even Tuesday, but now we're a little closer to the magical day of Friday, and sometimes, you know, you get a little more of a sneak peek with some things. I don't want to say things are leaked, but, you know, sometimes things are leaked, and, you know, we get a little more insight into things, especially with some singles. So, one thing came across my desk. I know I'm not usually the one to kick these things off, Mike, but I thought I'd surprise you.
Have
you checked out the new Liquid Death album?
I have.
And I want to say,
of course I have. I don't know if you want to talk about what it is, but my ear's been to the ground because I have the first one on vinyl.
Oh, you do? Awesome.
Yeah. And so, like, I've been waiting for the second one because they, like, in promotions, they say that, like, another album is coming. And, it's just absolutely wild the fact that they actually make music.
Oh, man. I know. It's, well, for people that don't know, Liquid Death is a water company and they sell water in cans. Originally, it was just plain old, you know, flat water. I mean, it's like Mountain Source. Like, it's, you know, it's good for you water.
It's good water.
But like, yeah, it's just water in a can, and their whole branding was Liquid Death, you know, like super, super metal, like everything.
Yeah.
And
like murder your thirst.
Exactly. And alongside of it, you know, alongside of that, they put out this, I think it was earlier this year, actually, they put out this metal album. Which was,
that was the first one.
Really well done, actually. I'm not sure who was involved in the metal album. I know a little bit more about the punk album, which just came out, which we're going to talk about in a second. But the metal album, super well recorded, super good songs, but the lyrics are all about, they're taking negative reviews, a lot of them like extremely crazy negative reviews of their product, and turned it into metal lyrics.
Yep.
And it's definitely worth, I'm not saying it's going to be your favorite record of the year. I mean, but maybe, but
it's a novelty listen.
It is super worth putting on at least once because it kind of gives you what you want, especially the metal one.
Oh, yeah.
It was like just going from like fast to like breakdown to like back and forth. I was like, this is
great. It's super riffy. It was good.
Yeah. And now there's a new record. It's a punk version. And I believe everyone from Tim from Rise Against to Chris number 2 from Anti-Flag to the girls from the Bomb Pops, they're all involved in
awesome.
This. And more. And it's, it's a super fun listen that I enjoyed this morning. So I wanted to see if you also had, Mike, and of course you have.
I haven't listened to it yet, but I know that it's out. So, yeah. And always big fan of Liquid Death. Like, I buy their carbonated water in bulk because it's so much better than drinking soda.
Yeah.
And like, great company. I love that they're doing this so soon again. I didn't expect something until like maybe like next year. But they're pumping this out and they're getting a lot of the like local scene in local scene, the music scene involved.
Yeah, no, and no.
I think it's dope.
I noticed that like there was a NoFX live stream a few weeks back, maybe a couple months back now. What is time? And yep. They were all drinking Liquid Death on stage, you know. And I was like, okay, like something's going on here with Liquid Death getting, you know, more and more into the music scene and like promoting like live events or whatever. You know, in the metal world and now the punk world. So yeah, it's cool. It is a cool company and you know, there is like a bit of a, you know, like a, they're trying to do something good here, which is, you know, less plastic in the ocean and all that too, you know, cause aluminum cans are much more recyclable than, you know, plastic.
So in 2025, when we get the Converse Twisted tour, is Liquid Death going to be the water supplier on stage instead of Monster? Is that how it's going to work out, you think?
Maybe. I mean, if people are buying their water, I mean, I think they're going to reinvest it right back into the music scene. So I think that's cool.
I hope they do.
I think that's really cool. Okay, well, welcome everybody here on Twitch or on the podcast, whichever. And if you are not listening to this on Twitch and you are, or watching it on Twitch, I should say, you should be doing this. So check twitch.tv/Shane Told for the schedule. And someone's calling me.
Somebody
from Covina,
didn't
California.
Turn off his notifications.
Now it's gone just like that. Yeah. Yeah. Nobody call me right now, okay? Nobody call me. How do I even do that? Is there like a do not disturb button? There it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
I never bother with that. I don't get a lot of phone calls. Mike's one of my only friends anyway. But here
I am.
Anyway, we're gonna talk about all of the new music coming out this week. And before we get into that, let's talk about last week a little bit, Mike. What did you think of some of the top records or the top record?
So I listened to a couple of the top records. I gotta say, I was a little bit wrong. I think I enjoyed the Boundaries record a little bit more than I enjoyed the Intervals record, which Intervals was my number one pick. Boundaries went pretty hard. It got pretty ignorant at points. Some of those breakdowns shouldn't be legal.
Oh, wow.
It was pretty good. I thought it was going to be like a nice, like, oh, I'm going to listen to another record that I've like heard this year. Cause I was saying like, there's a lot of bands like this putting out records like this. So I just put it on when I was hopping in the shower and all of a sudden shower turned into a two-step very quickly, which was quite dangerous. It's very slippery in there. But no, Boundaries was an absolute great record. Not to take away from Intervals, that was our number one, Intervals with their album Circadian.
Yeah.
It's an instrumental album, which is just a different vibe too. I think like maybe I was looking for an angry album this week and I decided to put Intervals there and subconsciously I wanted Boundaries, but I really liked the Intervals album. It was quite chill. Probably one of the best produced albums I've listened to this year.
Oh, shout out to my boy Sam.
Yeah, like he's, on par with the new Bring Me album, like some of my other favorite produced albums, like the new Loathe album from earlier this year, Sleep Tokens album, like it's just insanely crisp sounding. I think a lot of that lends into the fact that there's not a lot of extras on this album compared to a lot of instrumental albums out there right now. There's not a lot of electronic kind of background. It's just kind of drums, guitar, bass. And I think there's one or two songs with a saxophone, which I really enjoyed. Yeah. And maybe like one or two songs where they incorporate some weird drums. Like I think they had like a conga drum or something like that. I don't know my percussion, but they had something in there that was just a little bit different. It sounded cool. It's short listen. It was like 35 minutes, but it was really relaxing and kind of like put me in a good mood when I listened to it too.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll be honest. Nice. I don't listen to a lot of instrumental records really, you know? And I think there's a problem. I mean, let's just be honest. Most music is not instrumental, right? Most music yep. that people listen to, like, well, I shouldn't say most, because of course there's classical music and all that, and jazz, and mm-hmm. there's a lot of instrumental music in those genres. But when you're talking about, you know, our scene and popular music, there isn't very many instrumental bands. And I think it's very difficult to make a solid, you know, full length album that can keep your attention mm-hmm. when it's instrumental, that doesn't just sort of become background music after, let's just yeah. say, 7-8 tracks, right? Like, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I think that, you know, Intervals, Aaron, you know, he does such a great job of bringing in, you know, nice repetitive elements and great melodies and just stuff mm-hmm. that really catches you, that's up front in the mix like a vocal. And I know talking to Sam about that, you know, that was one of the focuses, right? Was really figuring yeah. out how to make it work structurally. But, you know, also it's got to, like, all the guitar nerds got to get stoked too, right?
Exactly.
For the shredding. So, no, I think it's a great pick, Mike. But I do understand, though, that, like, you know, it can be very difficult. It's very challenging for an instrumental mm-hmm. record to have the same, I don't know, I mean, emotion and, you know, like yeah. feeling, like meaning.
Connection,
because
I guess,
there's just
yeah.
such a huge element of it that is just, you know, inherently not there. But that mm-hmm. being said, I'm glad that pick was there. Shout out to my Canadian brother. And
oh, yeah.
Glad the Boundaries record is also slaying it right now.
Yep, I really love both.
Yes. You maybe, again, like, you know, I think it was a few weeks back, we were talking about putting the sticker on the CD with the quote. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I think we could have one there. These breakdowns should be illegal. Mike Howell, yes. This is the new shit. That could be right on the CD.
Perfect.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And shout out, look at all these people doing all this stuff on Twitch. They're subscribing. They're saying hello. Hello, everybody. Hello, Little Monster.
Hey, guys.
Hello, Fry93. 93, one of my favorite numbers. Thanks to Mr. Doug Gilmore, Toronto Maple Leafs.
Year of my birth.
Oh, nice. Damn, I'm fucking old. Shit.
Yes, you are.
You reminded me very badly. Yes. And hello to Liana and everyone else, too. Thanks for being here. Mike, shall we get into it? Top five?
I think we shall.
Top five. I like it. Okay.
So,
what's you need a disclaimer before this? Anything?
Yeah, I think I need a disclaimer, because
I'll give you a minute.
The way I want to go with this, and I think this is a good point or place for this, because I know you want to talk about it. I know everyone on Twitch, everyone on the podcast wants to hear about this. The new Silverstein Redux record is not making my top five. I'm saying this because I normally don't include
bye.
I normally don't include like remasters, things like that. Redux is kind of in that like middle ground, I think, where a lot of it's straight up re-recordings, different versions. It's still redone songs, so it kind of fits in there.
So I'm just looking for a knife or weapon of some kind. Go on. Yeah.
Oh, get it across the border first.
Yeah,
let's go.
Yeah.
But
no,
but,
to put on myself, Mike, not you.
Oh yeah.
I'm the one that's failed.
No, but
continue.
I think we don't need to look at this as a failure, but it's more of how good and alive the scene is right now.
Right.
Because there's five new original albums that I'm confident enough to put on the list this week that we can talk about. So I kind of want to start off this with, I guess, number six and talk about the new Silverstein record and how excited we are for it.
Well, yeah, sure. Okay. I mean, I made it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm really happy with it. You know, it was a fun project. We did Redux 1, and we did Redux mm-hmm. 1 basically because we weren't happy with the sounds of those original recordings. Our old label, Victory Records, owned those recordings.
Mm-hmm.
And enough time, it's kind of like what's going on with Taylor Swift now, right? She's about to re-record some of her old stuff because she doesn't have the rights to it anymore. So, you know, so that's what we did on the first one. We essentially just kind of copied those records with better production, better performances and everything. And people really mm-hmm. liked it. And we thought it was a really great update, you know, because, you know, you put Silverstein on a playlist with something that's more modern, you know, like mm-hmm. you try to compare, I don't know, let's just say Beartooth, some of our best friends, a band that's, you know, our peers and our contemporaries our first record, there's no way it can sound as good as their first record.
No.
It came out like, you know, 11 years before or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just the technology. So, you know, that's kind of the reason. But with this one, and it came about during the pandemic, like that's, we started talking about doing it because we had some time on our hands. And mm-hmm. we decided to do this one a little bit differently, you know, and go for the, you know, the reimagined approach on some tracks, and only go after like some of the deep cuts, you know, that some of the super mm-hmm. fans like the songs, you know, things like that. So it's been, yeah, that was kind of the main approach we took, and we were, you know, super happy with it. And yeah, I think the three singles that have been released so far, they do a decent job of kind of, you know, kind of setting the table for what the record yeah. is. But I think the anyone that's a fan of Silverstein, that's enjoyed any of our music, and not just our old stuff, there's some newer stuff on here too, I think that they're gonna really dig it. And mm-hmm. but yeah, I'm not butthurt. No, people are like, shots fired, yeah. fucking Shane's low key hurt. Like, I'm really not, because
yeah,
I get it. You know, this, if the, I'm sure if this was a new Silverstein record and we didn't make the top five,
oh yeah,
I would probably be, yeah, I'd be driving across the border. I'd just smash right through the gates. Nope. I'm showing you my fucking passport. I'm going for Mike Howell's head. But no, this is re-recordings, and I don't, you know, just cause this is my show doesn't mean that, that I should be putting myself anywhere ahead of mm-hmm. five other artists that made, well, I don't know who they are yet, but five, you know, artists that, you know, made original music. I think that obviously that should be the focus, you know?
Mm-hmm. And yeah. all that goes, like, I'm still extremely excited to listen to this record. There's some of the deeper cuts that I really don't know. A lot of my early Silverstein knowledge, and because of the production issues and things like that, and just Silverstein was an already kind of big band when I was kind of getting into the scene. And it was one that I just never checked out because I got more into like crabcore and electronicore and like,
lucky you.
Yeah. I got into all that kind of stuff rather than the kind of like emo post-hardcore metalcore side. And so I'm really excited to check out a lot of these songs because like, obviously I know the big hits off those albums. Like I know Massachusetts and songs like that. And I know a lot of stuff that was on Redux One, but Redux 2, I'm super excited to listen to. I think the three singles I've heard so far are great. I can't wait to listen to it tomorrow. There's something else I was going to say, but I forgot. I'm also really happy with it because you guys haven't really, you're doing these Reduxes, but you haven't really like slowed down the train on new music either. And that's what I feel.
No way.
That's what I feel happens to a lot of bands too, especially right now with quarantine and everything like that. They're kind of releasing live albums or like deluxe editions and B-sides and like totally keep on the playlists, keep going, keep making money because that's the important thing right now. But a lot of bands are also delaying kind of their normal time frame for releasing music by doing this. They're saying, hey, if we release this acoustic EP, we can buy ourselves another year of not releasing a record, right?
I guess. So, I mean, yeah, I think, you know, every band is different, you know, everyone mm-hmm. has, you know, come into this pandemic in a different position. Yep. And I feel like, honestly, as bad as Silverstein was, the position we were in, putting our mm-hmm. album out March 6th, about as bad as it gets, you know, at least we're able to be like, okay, well, the record's out. It's we don't have to worry about like, should we put it out? Should we not put it mm-hmm. out? Should we delay it? Like a lot of artists have done, you know,
you'd already pulled the trigger and you're just, what do we do?
I mean, yeah. That Day to Remember record still isn't out. I think I just read today. It was coming out in March now.
Yep.
Like that's gotta be like an hour and a year and a half or something.
Year and a half.
When they announced it.
Like, 7 months.
Like, crazy, right? So, you know, I'm glad that we aren't in that position where we have to try to navigate that. But, you know, every band's different, right? Some bands, mm-hmm. they haven't put out a record in a long time. And now they're like, shit, well, are we going to do one now? And other bands are like, okay, we'll do a single. We'll do this. We'll do that. Whatever. It's fine, you know?
Yeah.
But for us, this Redux project has worked out really well. And, you know, we are kind of like a interesting, I don't want to say an interesting band. I feel like it's, to me, it's ideal. And I guess that's why we do it. But we really like to, you know, kind of make new music that we really, really feel proud of, that we work really hard on. But then at the same time, we still, you know, appreciate our old fan base. And we still, you know, we want to, you know, celebrate those old records and the anniversaries of them. And, you know, whether it's with, you know, tours, or whether it's with re-recordings, or whether it's with live albums or whatever, like, we still want it, that to be something we do, but we also don't want that to get in the way of the new music either. Right. So it's, you know, but it can be hard to navigate. Not every band can kind of pull that off. So we do our best.
Yeah. Well, once again, really excited. I can't wait to listen to it tomorrow. It's going to be one of the first things I spin.
Okay.
Probably after one or two of these albums that are on here, but.
Hey, Mike, you're a little loud. Can you turn down your gain or something?
Yeah.
They're complaining that I can't see. I don't know. I took my whole rig down and I put it back up, and I can't, I can't just like make mine a little bit louder for some reason, but.
Is that better?
Go ahead.
Is that better for everybody? I'm just going to start talking.
Yeah. Is that better? Now we have to wait for the delay. I don't know. I think I can adjust it on my end. Anyway.
Right. Somebody says it's fine.
It's good. It's good. So we're actually, I feel like you're too quiet now.
Bump it up a little bit more. There we go.
There we go. Okay. Cool. Okay. Yeah, I got to hear Mike, you know. Come on. Oh, Donnie Lumps. What's up, man? We always got some nice people here. It's really great. Great to see y'all. Let's get into this top five, the real top five. I'm excited. I'm excited to see what you've picked. Let's start it up with number five.
So number five, this is a group that we've talked about before. They've released a single. I was really happy they're back. But coming with their new album, Reluctant Hero, it's super group Killer Be Killed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we did talk about them. You're going to have to refresh my memory on all the various members. But yeah, this is like a metal super group, right? It's a singer, Dillinger Escape Plan, right?
Yep. So I've got the list out already because I remembered that, and we're probably going to have to talk about who's in the band because it is a super group. But on vocals and guitar, we've got Greg Puciato from Dillinger Escape Plan.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing talent. We've also got on vocals and guitar Max Cavalera from Sepultura, Soulfly, Cavalera Conspiracy. He's in a ton of bands. On vocals and bass, we've got Tony Sanders from Mastodon.
There you go.
And on drums, we've got Ben Kohler. I don't know how to exactly say his last name. Yeah, from Converge.
Wow.
Quite an assortment of like originating points, but it makes this honestly really solid metal sound that a lot of bands in like standard traditional metal don't have three vocalists, let alone three vocalists as talented as that. I've listened to all three singles that they've put out, and I'm just so excited for this. It's one of my favorite kind of groups that doesn't release music very often. I think their last album was 6 years ago now.
Yeah.
And they just kind of come back once they're a little bored with all their other projects and just make some absolutely amazing music. I know their last album, they had a lot of features as well. I was trying to do some research and I couldn't see if there were any features on this album. Like, you know, you go to the store or whatever, and it sometimes shows on the track listing if there's a feature. Didn't have them for any of them, so that could be interesting.
I feel like a band doesn't need features, but hang on a second.
Also true.
Hey, Siri. How old is Max Cavalera? Damn it. How old is Max Cavalera?
Max Cavalera is 51 years old.
Yeah, see? 50. I actually thought he'd be older than that.
I did too.
Well, so Sepultura started in 1984.
Yep.
When I guess he was only 15 when they started the band.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Was he an original member?
Oh, yeah. He was the man. As far as I know, it was his band pretty much. You know, he's the singer.
Him and his brother, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. His brother on drums. Oh, yeah. Like those early Sepultura records, like, Arise and Chaos AD, and then Roots was the Roots was when they got popular, and probably around 1997 maybe. But But yeah, it's crazy. It's cool. He's not as old as I thought. I thought he would be like 60 or something. And like, I mean, I guess all those guys are probably in their 40s other than him, I'd say. So
yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah. So it's not like a crazy age gap, but no, a cool band. And I'm actually surprised. This must be a really good week if that's number five. Let's move on. Yeah. Mike, how about number four?
So number four, we've got coming out of Toronto, Canada, a pop punk band called Bearings. Do you know these guys?
Oh yeah, I'm familiar. I don't know if I know any of the members of the band personally,
but you know of them.
But I know, I know of their band. Absolutely.
So they're releasing their new album, "Hello, It's You." I love the album title.
Do you? You love every album title.
Okay, so the new "Killer Be Killed" album, that album title is "Reluctant Hero." I don't love that album
title. Okay.
But like, I like anything that has like kind of a phrase or like a something that might trigger an emotion or like a vibe for the album. So like, "Hello, it's you." I don't know. That's just got a. It works for me.
Okay. Well, by the way, Bearings is not from Toronto. They're from Ottawa, and I had to Google it really quick because I was like a little bit embarrassed that I didn't know they were from Toronto.
My apologies.
So, no, it's. I'm just glad. I wasn't so out of the loop now moving, like, because I live 3.5 hours away from Toronto now that all of a sudden I move and 2 years later is a band from Toronto I don't know about killing it out there. So they're from Ottawa, the nation's capital. But yes, tell me about this record. Why should people be checking this one out?
So people should be excited about this because it is going to be another absolutely solid pop punk album this year. If you like bands that are like, Home Safe, Like Pacific, and Seaway, I think you're really gonna absolutely love this band. They've got really catchy vocals, good vibes. It's very wholesome pop punk. They've got some fun riffs that just make you want to kind of jump and bounce around at a show. And I don't know what more you want from pop punk than that. Like, I don't want technical riffs. I don't want the craziest drummer. It's just going to be a fun record.
Right. And, you know, this is their sophomore album. I think they had a bunch of EPs, if I'm not mistaken. But this is kind of their sophomore, you know, album number two, which we talk about all the time, it's important.
Huge
kind
one.
Of make or break record for them. And I could see them kind of, you know, blowing up and instead of being that, you know, maybe second of five band on some of those tours, they could, you know, probably start headlining their own tours. This is, you know, if this record is what everyone, you know, thinks that it could be.
Yep. And another reason I absolutely love this band, they do fun merch. I like to collect weird band merch. So like I have a collection of hot sauce that are like band hot sauces.
Okay.
And they put one out for this new record. So I was like all over it. I saw it like just scrolling Facebook. It was like, pre-order our new hot sauce with our album. And I was like, all right, I have to now. I don't know who this band is at all. So checked about, turns out just bangers. So
wait, you heard the record? Did it already
no,
come?
The pre-order it comes out come? Tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah,
but
the pre-order
hasn't come. Cause you know, sometimes you get it early.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Well, I gotta be honest. I'm probably as excited for the hot sauce as if it was coming to me at my door, I'd be as excited for the hot sauce as I would be for the music. But that's
exactly.
Just me. I really like hot sauce.
And I'm trying to remember what kind of hot sauce it was. I'm just looking it up. Of course, it's not going to show up.
It's probably going to be like a habanero, maybe a ghost pepper. Everyone's trying to go with the real extreme peppers these days.
I remember
where
it being pretty mellow.
What's that?
I remember it being kind of mellow, but
I
don't
like
remember.
That. See, I'm into like, did you hear that notification? That was the loudest thing
I did.
On earth. Yeah, I got to figure out a way to make that not happen. But no, I honestly, I'm like, all I can, it's not that I can't handle the like super hot sauce, but like if it's too hot, you just don't get the flavor, right? Like I love when you get like a super, like sometimes you'll get like a really nice, like a mango habanero.
Oh, those are my favorite
it's
too.
It's great if the mango is like, you can get the mango. If it's all just like habanero and it's like fucking blowing your head off, then I'm just not going to enjoy the hot sauce as much. Anyway.
I'm a big fan of like the citrusy hot sauces too, like of the Verdes and stuff like that. Those are always a great time.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You ever go down to Mexican Town, Mike? In Detroit?
Oh, yeah. Go down to El Club. Great venue. Great food down there.
I love Elk Club. Yeah, Elk Club is awesome.
Just, I love the tacos. It's kind of hard. Like, you basically walk and you will find a good taco place in Mexican Town, Detroit. It's great. And yeah. Northern Mexican, good. I probably not for you Texans or where have you in the South.
Well, I don't know though. Like it's authentic though. Like it's, you
it
know,
is.
It's legit. I mean, I'm sure like, yeah, the Californians are the worst for their elitist views. On
also true.
Mexican food. I feel like the Texans are a little more open-minded. Yeah. The Californians are definitely the worst, but no, Mexican Town's legit. It's definitely legit. Man, there was this place, I don't know if you ever went there, Mike. It was called Aranda's. It was like a tire. One side was a tire shop. And
yep.
The other side was like, I swear you could like order all the food you wanted in the world. All delicious. They like I'm talking like beers, everything. They bring you the bill. There's like six people eating and it's like $13.
Oh, yeah.
It's like great. Like,
the food down there is just. It's so cheap, but they do so much with like the ingredients that they've got. And like, I don't know if they just mass buy. I definitely don't want to see those kitchens, but I will 100% eat that food.
I don't think about that stuff. I just enjoy it. All right. Well, let's go on. So bearings at number four, number three.
Number three, we've got the new album Moment from Dark Tranquility.
What do you think of this album title, first of all?
I think it's... It's kind of like one word. It's a little simple.
It kind of is. Yeah.
I feel like there's probably been a ton of albums called Moment before.
Probably. Yeah. It. I mean, maybe there's some deep meaning in here, but I don't know. Dark Tranquility, death metal band, been around a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. They've definitely been around forever. Not forever, since like the early 90s. But they're playing kind of like melodic technical death metal. If you're into Scar Symmetry or Soil Work, bands like that. If you're into kind of metalcore and you're looking for a similar band that's like the death metal compatriot, I would kind of compare them to like a little bit of a darker, more somber August Burns Red almost.
Oh, okay.
Where they're very riffy and that's pretty much like the main thing about it.
Yeah. Well, this is their 12th album.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot. And yeah, they've been a band actually, Mike, since 1989, if you can believe
it. Look at that.
They're from Gothenburg, Sweden, which
yep.
Gothenburg is super famous. I mean, I always knew it. Well, I always knew Gothenburg because my father's actually born there.
Really?
Just outside
cool.
Gothenburg, yeah. That was before death metal existed, though. But
unfortunate.
But also born there was At the Gates and In Flames, two of probably the most, famous Swedish metal bands ever, two of the best. And Dark Tranquility right there in that scene with them, you know, in the 90s. And still here making records, never went away. Like, I think In Flames has been around the whole time. Obviously, At the Gates, you know.
In Flames has gone through a sound change.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, which is okay. But no, oh, yeah. Dark Tranquility definitely is like OG Swedish metal, death metal.
You could listen to their old records and listen to the new stuff. And the only thing that's going to change is the lyricism is a bit better and the production.
Yeah.
It's honestly still just as riffy. I absolutely love this band though. I get any chance that I get to see them live, I will. I'm actually doing so on Saturday. They have a live stream for their new album. They're playing it in entirety. They actually like rented out an orchestra hall or something like that, I think. Which will be pretty cool.
Sick.
No idea how the acoustics will be playing death metal in an empty orchestra hall, but
I don't know.
Hopefully pretty good.
I hope they like burn it down at the end or something.
I hope not. That would incur a lot of fines.
So metal. That's cool. That's really cool. No, I like, yeah, that's a whole other conversation we can have about live streams and you know, some bands
I'm
are
doing
a
four
more,
this weekend.
What's that?
I'm doing four this weekend.
You're doing four. Which four? We got some time. Which four are you doing?
All right. So tonight, I'll talk about this one later because they're later on the list.
Oh, okay.
Tomorrow, I'm seeing Paris play their first album in its entirety.
Oh, sick.
Saturday, I have Dark Tranquility, and they're playing from Europe, so it's around like two here, I think. And then at night, Saturday is Paris. Friday is Devil Wears Prada. Doing Space and Zombie,
right?
Full.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
that'll be
you
fun.
About that before,
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. No, I mean, I know you're a big showgoer, and obviously that's been ripped from your soul. And now you're left with live streams. Have you been enjoying it for the most part? And maybe, like, just real quick, while we have a second, have you enjoyed one, and why? And has there been one that you thought missed the mark, and maybe why? If you don't want to, talk shit or throw anyone on the bus, that's fine too. Because obviously everyone's trying, and there's a process. But I am curious, to see what you've enjoyed and not.
Yeah. So there's probably a couple that stand out to me. The Code Orange live streams. I absolutely love both of those.
They were the OGs right here on Twitch.
Yep. They did the first one and it was incredibly well produced. And the one that they just did on Halloween was great. The Ice Nine Kills one was absolutely fantastic. I absolutely loved the co-headliner one with Volumes and Crown the Empire. That was great. And the worst ones, there's only one that kind of comes to mind, and I'm really upset about this because I still absolutely love the album and I had a good time. But the Anne Berlin live stream when they played Cities in full, I don't know what it was, because people were saying all the albums they did before, they sounded great. And I think it's just that album is kind of like the black sheep of their discography, and they don't play songs from it very often, let alone in full.
Right.
And so there are just points where there's very obvious voice cracking or riff got messed up a little bit and stuff like that. And it happens in any live environment too, but it is what it is.
It is what it is. And what it is hard. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's doing a live stream. You're under such a microscope because you're at a
people
show.
People can rewatch it.
You're in a show. You're in the pit. You got a beer in your hand. Someone's running into you and it's loud and shit. Nobody notices if a guitar player flubs a note or vocals a little off. Nobody notices. But when you're listening like this with you got your Audio Technicas on and you're listening, you're looking at your screen and you're intently analyzing everything. It's it's just way too, it's
too in. It's
you're
watching
really
the show by yourself.
I don't know what it is, but so that kind of stuff, I think, for sure, I can see your point of why that can miss the mark. And I think the biggest thing is just it's so hard for a band to feel the energy, right?
And then
be able to kind of convey that into a little camera lens. I think that's the problem. And for the most part, the bands I've seen that have done it, they've done a pretty good job. To be honest, I haven't watched a ton of them, but the ones I've seen, I've enjoyed, and I think it's been cool. And I think I'm just trying to take it for what it is more than what it's replacing.
And so to go on the flip side with that, with the crowd interaction, and something that I really highly commend that Amber Lim stream on is they actually had the live chat going on TVs. So the band members were actually in between songs. They were just hey, how are you doing? Shelby123 or whatever their username was, and actually calling them out. And I thought that was super, super cool. And they were oh, we've got such and such person from Michigan. They're just drawing random names, but that was awesome. And I don't know. I think I really I miss the live shows obviously for the energy, but I really like these two because there's so many production elements that I don't notice that, normally when I'm watching a live show, I'm in the pit or fighting my way to the front, and you don't notice everything that goes into the stage production and what's going on there, with the lighting. And there's so much cool stuff that I just hadn't realized before.
Yeah, no, 100%. And Dark Tranquility doing a big live stream. Those guys must be
stoked
pretty
for
old.
It.
If they started in 1989, I don't think I can ask Siri just how old the band is, but,
I'll probably just tell you how old the band is.
Probably find
you.
Yeah. Well, current vocalist and then guitarist Michael Stan. He's not old at all. He's only 46.
That's not bad.
Yeah. So he was only 15. So if you want to start a band, if you want to start a metal band and you're from a foreign country, start it when you're 15 and you'll be very successful. That's the magic number right there.
Sounds about right.
Okay, there we go. Number two.
So this band, I'm watching their live stream tonight. They're from Detroit, Michigan, local boys. And with their new album, Distance, it's Boys of Fall, one of my absolute favorite local bands. Have you ever heard of these guys?
No, I haven't. And I've seen their name around, I guess, because they have a new record coming out.
Yep.
Yeah, it kind of makes me think of, like, I just think of Boys of Summer, like the, you know, like the
song,
I
see that.
Or like a baseball reference. But yeah, I don't know anything about Boys of Fall, and I don't know that they're from Detroit or anything. Have they been around a long time?
They've been around for, I'd say, probably like 5 years in our local scene now.
Okay.
They've got one record out that came out in 2018, I want to say. And then obviously this is their sophomore release. I've seen them here and in Chicago. They opened up a Riot Fest like pregame night. That was really cool. I've seen them a couple times around here. It's really cool. Their live show often gets described to like A Day to Remember. They're kind of this, I'd say, post-hardcore band with pop-punk sensibilities. They're really fun in that regards, where like a lot of the verses and everything like that, you're definitely going to have screaming, you're going to have fast guitars, fast riffing, things like that. But when you get to the chorus, it's time to jump around and crowd surf and sing along and just belt out some lyrics, right?
Yeah. Well, that sounds fun. No, when you say they remind me, you know, like A Day to Remember live, I think of like hamster balls and toilet paper. And yeah, like all the like, you know,
just kind of the energy,
you know, like tricks. But you more mean the energy.
Yeah. And yeah. They don't sound as heavy as A Day to Remember for sure. If I would describe them to other bands, I would say we've reviewed Point North on this album or on this podcast.
Yeah.
If you like the Point North album, you're gonna like this album. If you like bands like Picturesque or Between You and Me, you're also probably going to like this album. It's definitely post-hardcore with some pop punk and R&B influences. It's
cool.
Going to be fun.
Cool. Boys of Fall. I like it.
Oh,
are they actually from Detroit? Like, are they from Detroit? Like, are they hard? Or are they from, like, let's be honest, they're from like Rochester or something?
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure where exactly they're from, but they're from like Metro Detroit. Metro Detroit's like a weird thing too, because like you can be upwards of like an hour away at some points, depending on traffic, and still technically be like, quote unquote, Metro Detroit.
Oh, yeah.
It's absolutely
wild.
Well,
it's the same as Toronto, but like we were always, when Silverstein started, we were always like a little bit careful that we didn't say we were from Toronto, even though like where I grew up, I was like 25 minutes away from downtown. Well, with no traffic, you know, I could take a train, for example, and be downtown in like 35 minutes. So, you know, like, but we never said that. We always claimed like the city and the suburbs where we were actually from, basically just because we didn't want like people to call us posers. Like, oh, you're not really from, like, you know, I guess like
it makes sense
Eminem,
when you're local.
It's like when Eminem called out ICP for not really being from Detroit because they're from, like, you know, whatever outskirts. So whenever I see Detroit specifically, I always think, okay, are they like, actually, like are they from like 8 Mile? Like we're talking 8 Mile? Jefferson, like are they down by the river, or are we talking about like Dearborn, you know?
Yeah, we're talking about me generalizing for the ease of everybody else listening. They're from Michigan, Detroit.
They seem to be claiming Detroit, so
but just some other like quick fun things that I heard from the singles. There's a couple songs with some really cool bass lines. I always love that. When you can actually hear the bass and they're doing something funky that is like, you've kind of got like a da-na, da-da-da-na, da-na riff. And then the bass is like actually slapping in the background and doing some slides and fun stuff like that.
Slapping the bass.
Exactly.
Yes.
And they've got one or two songs that I've heard with piano as well. And, you know, I'm a sucker for piano when done well.
Yeah.
So overall, really excited for this album and I can't wait to hear it.
We can call them Boys of Bass. We can call them Boys of Piano.
Boys of Many Talents.
Boys to Men.
Boys to Men. I haven't heard that name in a long time.
Okay. Well, hey, I guess it's time now for us to talk about the number one album in just a second. And we're about to have an ad here in this slot for this really cool new website that I want people to know about. It's called The Record Shelf. The URL is, I think it's therecordshelf.net. And what it is for anybody that listens to music on Spotify or Apple Music, let's say, it can be really difficult to keep your shit organized, right? You know, it used to be, okay, I put whatever on my iPod, I have my playlist or whatever, but sometimes with new stuff coming out, it can get a little convoluted. Well, what's cool about the record shelf is you can literally go on. It has all the new records that we talk about every week and a whole bunch more. And you can just go on and go, oh, yeah, I'm interested in that one. I'm interested in that one. And then they're going to go on your record shelf. And then, you know, you can remember to check them out later, you know, or whatever. And then they go along with the other albums that are your favorites. You can put them all there, you know, virtually. And it's completely free app. They've been a sponsor of this show for the last couple weeks. And I wanted just to talk about how awesome it is. You know, just it's just this dude started this just for like straight up based on his love of music. It's not a corporate thing. And it's starting to grow, and you know, there's starting to be more things like, you know, people are going to be able to do album reviews and talk about other records and stuff. So shout out to the record shelf.
I haven't checked it out and I feel like I need to, cause the guy did message me and ask me and I'm really sorry. I said I was going to check it out. Life gets busy. I'm excited and I'll check it out.
Yeah. Check it out. It's really, really cool. So here's an ad for it.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We're back. And we're going to talk about the number one greatest album this week. I'm excited. What is it, Mike? What is it?
All right. So this album is already out. It came out on Tuesday. I hope that you've listened to it already because I've listened to it probably 20 times. It's absolutely phenomenal. It's the new EP album. He calls them albums. They're 7 songs in like 23 minutes. It's an EP. It's called Eggy Pocket by Bill Murray.
Yes, Bill Murray, B-I-L-M-U-R-I. Johnny Frank, the man, the myth, the legend.
Yes.
And absolutely, let's just say, can we say like he's a bit of a fucked up guy?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
like, I don't know what's going on in that head of his, but he churns out some absolutely incredible music, and he turns it out fast. Like he's doing like an album a year minimum.
Yeah. This album or this year was supposed to be 2, but it got delayed because he wasn't able to get in the studio and everything like that. It was supposed to be coming out in summer, but here we are.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right. So this one is 7. This one is 7 tracks. I think the last one was 2.
Yep.
It's always like all these records are 7, 8 tracks. He's kind of just decided this is his own format. No one's really doing this. Mm-hmm. And he's in this sort of world of his own, but he's really, really picking up traction.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with just people being absolute diehards for this music. And I have listened to this album. I think I only listened to it once, but I really like the mm-hmm. singles that were released.
There's only one single.
Oh, so. Absolutely Cranking My Fucking Hog. That's the one. That's the one that was released. Banging song. And yeah, you just go over to his Spotify and look at these song titles this round.
They're absolutely wild. But like,
wow.
I love it because like I miss that, like those days when we had like Reptar, King of the Ozone, and like all the random stupid band song names. Like, it was just a free for all. Like, you could just pick out whatever you want. Devil Wears Prada was probably the best at it, I think. But like, yeah. Song names had no meaning.
Hate Buffering, that was always one that I thought was ridiculous.
Like Danger Wild Man, like no relevance to the song, but just absolutely incredible. Like, I really love this album though. I think it's great. The features on it are awesome. Like, I don't know who Brody is. I think he's kind of like the emo rapper in Absolutely Cranking My Motherfucking Hog, but like the song Fluoride in the Hard Seltzer Water, when like Rory from Dayseeker comes in, just adds this flair to it. And then we've got like Macho Man Bill Murray, and John Mess just comes in and starts dropping bars. Like, that's absolutely incredible. And no song on this album is alike whatsoever. but they're all certifiably Bill Murray as well.
Well, that's like, cool, though, because, you know, if you think about most records, you don't really want to have more than seven songs like that are different. You know, typically, like every album, if it's, let's just say it's a 12 song album, you kind of have like two or three songs that are in the same vein. If not, you're talking about like five, six songs that are all in the same vein. And like you could kind of replace one with the other on a record. So for this to just be like, all right, here it is, seven tracks. Each one's different. Each one's a different vibe, and you're getting one of each. You know, in my opinion, like, I kind of like that, the way that's done. Like, because how many records, I mean, and let's just be honest, like, any for everybody here listening to this, like, how many times have you listened to a record and, like, you know the first five, six, seven tracks of a record really well, and then, like, the last half of the record, you just, for some reason, you just don't get to that. You know, you don't get there. Whether it's because you have a short commute or just you just end up changing it at some point, you know, you get a little tired of it.
It happens.
So, hey, I think he's onto something here with this format, and people are really, really digging it all the way through. And I'm really happy that this was your number one. Johnny Frank. I mean, Johnny Frank was on the podcast. He's a fan, you know, a friend of the show. Yeah. So it's great.
Absolutely awesome album. I'd say 90 plus out of 100. Like, absolutely great. Definitely, I will say, like, try it out. Bill Murray is 100% not for everybody. I have friends that are absolutely in love and enamored with the project like me. I have friends who absolutely hate the project. I know very little people who just kind of think Bill Murray is okay. It's really very love or hate, I think. But,
well, I personally think it's great. I think the gimmicky stuff about it, you know, how it's like really just, it's like image wise, it reminds me a little bit of like Tim and Eric. I know we actually talked about Tim Heidecker a few weeks back, like, you know, just like extremely crazy, like just insane. And I feel like in some ways that can take away from the actual seriousness and emotional, like stuff in this music that is there, you know, like it for real is like, is awesome in that respect. And I feel like sometimes, you know, and it's that gets downplayed, that side of it, which is why people might feel that way, like, about it. I don't know.
I can see that. Like, if you're listening to it at kind of a surface level and you like hear the memes, like you hear the Taco Bell gong go off, or you hear the sound clip of Randy Savage, or like whatever else crazy stuff goes on in this album. Like, there's a random saxophone, there's a pan flute solo, like he randomly blasts over a pan flute. Like, I don't know what's going on at that point, but I absolutely adore it.
Right.
But if you like dig deep and like actually look at the lyricism and kind of like listen to what he's doing vocally and instrumentally along with the lyricism, like, it's super well done and really well written.
No, totally, totally. And I think, you know, part of that stuff, it is natural. It is his personality, right? Like, that's just how he is. And hey, he's keeping it fun and he's keeping it entertaining. And like,
exactly,
what is music if not entertainment, right? Let's be real here. So that's a great number one pick, Mike.
Thank you.
Wow. You wanna... Okay. We did it. We did the top five. What are you going to say?
I was going to say, do you want to run back through so the people can jot them down?
Let's
now
run back through. I won't do anything weird this week.
Thank you. Oh my God. Thank you.
Here, how about I'll start at a moderate voice and we'll see what happens.
Okay.
Number five.
Number five, we've got the new album Reluctant Hero by Killer Be Killed.
Number four.
Number four, we've got the new album Hello It's You by Bearings.
Number three.
Number three, we've got the new album Moment by Dark Tranquility.
Number two.
Number two, we've got the new album Distance by Boys of Fall.
And the number one record is
the new album Eggy Pocket by Bill Murray.
Eggy Pocket. Oh, God. I'll never do that again either. That was even worse than last week.
Yeah, I hope everyone in Twitch, your pockets feel sufficiently eggy right now.
Eggy Pocket. Oh, my goodness. Awesome. Awesome. No, that's the top five. I have, before you get into your honorable mentions, I have a couple of my own for a change.
Let's do it.
I Am the Avalanche has a new album coming out.
Ooh. And that was also on my honorable mentions.
Oh, good. Yeah. Great, great band. Vinnie Caruana from the movie Life. It's the band that he started after the movie Life broke up in the mid 2000s. They put out a couple really great records, but they had major issues with Drive-Thru Records. You know, Drive-Thru Records, who's known for like The Starting Line and Finch and those like massive albums. Just before that, they were having major problems, and they were kind of like handcuffing I Am the Avalanche. Like they basically did a record and the label wouldn't put it out. They were getting shelved for no reason. So it kind of derailed their career. Yeah, it sucked. It sucked because they had, I mean, they had so much momentum and such a great band. But I'm really, really excited to check this one out. And another band, and another band to check out is a band, another band that's come back, and that's Sea Haven.
That was also on my honorable mentions.
Yeah, and they're back with a new record too, which is, you know, if you're into that kind of post punk stuff, and you know they're super talented, and everything I've heard from this and about this seems like this is going to be this could end up in a lot of people's top records of the year. So that's a couple I had, and I'm glad you had them both. But what else do you have, Mike?
All right, so a couple quick things. I've pretty much just got singles. Five of them. One of them, honorable mention. If you follow me on Instagram at Slappy Slam, you have probably seen me talk shit about this single, but I would be amiss to not mention that A Day to Remember has put out a single this week.
Yeah, Brick Wall, right?
Yep. It is, sounds like four songs, three songs, whatever it is, mashed into one. All of the production went into Jeremy's voice and nowhere else. It just sounds absolutely wild, and I am not here for it. Did you listen to it?
Yeah, I did. Well, somebody texted me and said, I think Day to Remember ripped off some Silverstein lyrics. And I was like, what? So I listened to it. And yeah, the first line of the song is very similar to Call It Karma by Silverstein, which obviously I got it from a fucking parking space. It's not like original, like a completely original thought. But yeah, that's, I did notice that. I kind of dug it, actually, though. I thought the start of it with the like the kind of fast drums that were sort of like, it started really quiet and it kind of got louder. I thought that was like, kind of an original idea, and then there was kind of like a Beartooth-esque like big riff, which I thought was like pretty cool too. The only thing I thought was like the song ended like a little bit abruptly, but
especially for the album intro.
Yeah, that kind of made me wonder though if maybe like on the album it's gonna go into like going to something else.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, sure. You don't know yet, of course, like in the context of the album. But no, I think, you know, yeah, I think I've heard a lot of people talking about the Day to Remember singles, and obviously this record, it's just been delayed and delayed and delayed. So I think people are getting a little like, I think people are like maybe being a little bit harder on the band.
Because
of that. I thought Resentment was really good.
I didn't like that one either.
Oh, okay. Well,
like, I don't know what it is, but like something about all these songs, there's just like an element of corniness that I've never experienced when listening to A Day to Remember. So like that breakdown in Resentment, I think it is when they go, now you're looking at the eye of the tiger or whatever, like right before the breakdown, I'm like, oh yeah, that is so bad. Like, and it's just little parts that like pull me out of the song. Like this one, the really like abrupt tempo changes. Like I like every individual part that they do, but the tempo changes and disjointedness between it is, I don't know. It seems weird to put out as single.
Yeah. Well, I mean, hey, yeah, we'll find out in March.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, is that another four months? We'll find out what it's all about. I'm sure we'll talk about it then, won't we, Mike?
Yes, we will.
All right. What else?
So we spoke about Rory Rodriguez from Dayseeker on the Bill Murray album. He's also putting out a single this week on his synthwave project, Hurtwave.
Cool.
I'm really excited for this. I don't know if it's technically synthwave, synth pop, whatever you want to call it. He brings the same emotion from Dayseeker into this. It's just kind of a different medium. It's just as sad if you want to be sad and listen to his beautiful voice. Really excited for this EP. They're kind of releasing it one song at a time. This is the third one. There's seven total, so who knows when we actually get to talk about this in full. But
yeah, that's cool.
Really excited for this single.
Well, I mean, the guy's got an incredible voice.
Like, oh, impeccable.
Like, I just, yeah, I'm seeing him, like, his name pop up on a lot of stuff, you know, features and his own music. And I am not mad about it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think just he can just sing me to sleep every night.
Is he the new Kellen Quinn, where he's the most desirable feature in the scene right now?
Oh, like, no offense to Kellen Quinn. I mean, Kellen Quinn, the guy's incredible. The range that Kellen Quinn has, but like, Rory, I mean, just the way that guy can scream and sing, and like, have you heard that Adele cover? I mean, like, the guy
is absolutely insane.
The guy is wild. And no, not to take anything away from Kellen at all, but Rory is right now. I mean, he is like, damn, dude, he's incredible.
All right. So moving on, I've got three left. So we've talked about this, my first concert. All American Rejects are putting out a new single.
Oh, nice.
Really excited for this.
Nice. Me too.
I love their EP they put out a year or two ago. It's definitely more radio friendly. I mean, I guess they've always been radio friendly, but like more like not going to scare our parents radio friendly. Honestly, really excited for it. One of my favorite pop punk bands to ever be around.
I mean, I think we talked about their story. My story I had about them, you know, hearing them on a mix CD, forgetting about it, and then hearing them on the radio and having to pull the car over because I was so excited. And yeah, and that's like swing in 1999 or 2000 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
No, later than that. 2001 maybe.
Yeah, I think that's about right.
And they, I've been a huge fan ever since. So I'm excited to see what they come up with.
Same here. Another thing that we've got another new single from Architects off their album coming out in February.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't heard this single. From what I've heard, it's even less metalcore than Animals, their first single, which is going to be quite a shock, I think, for some people.
Yeah.
Maybe not. They are definitely embracing the sound change on this album. And
it seems like
I've kind of like turned a new leaf on Animals. I was kind of like on it when I first heard it, but it's kind of wormed its way into my ear and become this absolutely catchy banger that now I'm just like, all right, Sam Carter, your voice is too good, and this riff, it's got nothing really going on, but it gets stuck in my head.
Well, yeah, I mean, anytime a band tries some new stuff, no matter how good it is, there's going to be people that are going to say, fuck you, we want your old stuff.
Yeah.
And that's doesn't, honestly, anything. And, you know, sometimes it takes a little bit of an adjustment as a fan to kind of wrap your head around it, you know, just because you're used to something being a certain way. So, yeah, I mean, again, it's so tough these days, the way that singles are released, and so many singles are released before an album, that, like, you kind of make up your mind, you know, before you actually hear the whole thing in context. So I'll check out the singles, but I will definitely kind of keep the whole thing at arm's length in terms of like my opinions on anything until I can sit down and listen to the whole thing. Cause that's when you're going to really know. I mean, they could be releasing these songs. The label could want them to release these songs cause they're the more poppy, you know, like, you know, the ones they're going to try to play on Octane or whatever.
Yep.
And then the rest of the record could sound like fucking Black Dahlia Murder for all we know. You know what I mean? So yeah, absolutely. We got to see. But
speaking of Octane, real quick, we've got to be sad about the fall of 89X. I know we've talked about it on the show a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Local alternative music station.
Yeah, new rock,
now country.
New rock 89X out of Detroit. Obviously, Mike is from Detroit area. Not downtown Detroit, but close enough. And I live, I probably live closer to downtown Detroit than you do, actually, in terms of distance, because I'm on the Canadian side in Windsor. And there is a station here. Well, there was a station here until today, 89X, that played
noon.
Awesome music, you know. And of course, like, sure, they played the stuff that a lot of rock stations play, like, you know, you'll turn on, you'll hear Foo Fighters and you'll hear Marilyn Manson and you'll hear that stuff and you'll hear Green Day, but they also give a lot of bands a chance. And right now, like, they play Silverstein all the time. You know, someone brought up Atreyu. They play Atreyu all the time.
Yep. You'd hear, like, We Came As Romans.
We Came As Romans, they'll play sometimes. And they were big, big proponents of I Prevail. Before I Prevail blew up everywhere, they were getting their shot locally, you know, on the Detroit radio. And what happened was I heard this from an inside source, so I'm not exactly sure if I'm supposed to say it, but nah, fuck it. I guess yesterday they had a conference call in the morning and they literally fired everybody.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
And yeah, they just literally called everybody and said, hi, tomorrow we're switching 89X to Pure Country 89, which is like, okay, the knife's already in there. Let's just twist it back and forth a few times, right? And it's like, it sucks, man. Like, that's because that station was around here. It's like pretty much the only, as far as I mean, it's the only station I didn't listen to, but in terms of rock, like, this is the one, man. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's really sad.
Oh, somebody gifted me a sub. Thank you. I wasn't subscribed to the channel.
Welcome, Mike.
Yay.
Yeah.
But somebody also in the chat mentioned 98.7 is the new alternative Detroit station. Apparently they've been around for a couple months, I've saw. They said that our staples are like 21 Pilots, Blink 182, My Chemical Romance, Imagine Dragons, stuff like that. So, like, not a full replacement for 89X, but something mildly bearable, more so than the country music.
Yeah.
So, if you're like,
well, where are all those people that, you know, those people that say, oh, I listen to everything except country, right?
Yeah.
Well, this isn't for them. So, a lot of people say that. So, I don't know how, there's like, someone told me there's four country stations in the Detroit area.
Yeah, it's actually really bad. I think there's even more. Like, if you get further out towards me and you start to pick up some of the channels from like the middle of Michigan and things like that, I would say our radio stations are like 50% like pop and hip hop and rap and stuff like that, like 30% country and like 20% classic rock. It's not a good time. But I've got one more honorable mention. Get us back on track, please. A little bit. So one of my favorite bands, I have said it before and I've said it again, they are absolutely awesome. Era is putting out a new single.
Oh yeah, you love this band.
It's already out. It came out today. I listened to it. It's really fun. I think it's probably one of the proggiest songs that they've ever put out, is in terms of like, I hate making this comparison because I don't really like Tool, but they almost sound like Tool at some points. And it's kind of weird, but I also love the transitions that they do. The breakdown's awesome. Honestly, it's classic era. The way that these two singles are, it's shaping up to be probably my favorite album by them, which is
nice.
Impressive. I think Drift's a near perfect album. I'm really excited for it, though. Please announce it so I can pre-order it.
All right. There it is. Those are all the records you need to know about this week and more.
Exactly.
Great list, Mike. Again, thank you for putting that together. And everybody,
hey,
make sure you head over to @SlappySlam on Instagram for the whole list every single week coming at you. This is the new shit.
Hell yeah. Thanks for having me on, Shane.
Of course, dude.
All this new shit, got a new whip, that's some new ice, that's some new drip. Got rid of my old trash, got a new bitch. All this new shit, yeah. All this new shit, yeah. All this new shit, yeah. Got a new whip, that's some new ice, that's some new drip.